Got my 3 olive martini going on here. Sitting down instead of standing up. This might be a fairly mellow edition of Stating the Obvious. But holy fucking shit. Holy shit. I'm talking about shit with holes in it. Holy shit. Is this episode going to be brilliant? Brilliant. Brilliant. You can scream and shout with all your might. Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, moan. Dig in your heels and hold on tight. Yes, you may shove your opinion up your ass so Obama's cock has something to keep it company. And for those of you who have listened to this before, you know the third possibility. You are wrong, and I am right. And you know that's how this shit works. It's already getting hot. We just go from fucking winter right into summer. It's like 80 degrees here. It must be global warming. Pretty soon, people will be complaining about how hot it is. It's a little warm. That's why I'm feeling a little mellow, I think. Oh, by the way, I'm the Great One himself, and this is the Stating the Obvious podcast. It is the weapons platform from which I launch the cruise missile of my intellect that homes in on and destroys stupid motherfuckers all around the world. It's a nuclear-tipped cruise missile. When it goes off, there's a giant mushroom cloud, the buildings get knocked over, and if there are survivors, we mow them down with a 50-caliber machine gun that fires depleted uranium shells. Martini. In the control room, right over there on the other side of the glass, is the lovely and adorable Randy. She's hanging out. I'm over here. I'm on the side of the glass that has the microphone because listening to the glorious sound of my voice, that's what you came here for. That's what we're here for. That's what it's all about. The other day, I got some comments on Stating the Obvious number 150 on YouTube from somebody who, from his comments, seemed pleased to have discovered the podcast. And I went back and I listened to the first time, because I usually never listen to my podcast. Back in the day when I started recording these, by the way, today is April the 9th, 2014. This is Stating the Obvious podcast, Cynical Libertarian Society, CYNLIBSOC.com on the internet. And if you want to send us email, you can send that to God, that's dog spelled backwards, God, at CYNLIBSOC.com. Send us your love mail, send us your hate mail, send us naked pictures, especially if you're a cute girl or an attractive man. Randy and I are both into naked pictures of people of the opposite gender who are attractive. If you're a volleyball girl, I especially like little volleyball girl pictures, so send that on. Anyway, what was I talking about? Oh yeah, Stating the Obvious 150. I did a parenthesis inside that. So back in the day, I used to listen to each episode of the podcast before it actually went out. It was partially to check the sound quality, and then partially just to make sure I didn't say something stupid that I was going to be embarrassed by. And I realized, well, there's no way I can stop myself from saying things that are stupid and that will embarrass me, because as I mentioned before, the further I go back in history and listen to the podcast, the more often I can hear me saying things that I listen to them now and go, where the fuck did I get that from? Which, of course, is one of the reasons I'm better than you, because I make progression in my moral and philosophical beliefs, whereas you, as a statist, are not capable of making philosophical progressions, because you simply believe whatever you're told to believe by the state, by the government, by the corporations, by the media. You're incapable of thinking on your own, and therefore progression is naturally impossible for you. But I stopped doing that, not because I don't love listening to the sound of my own voice. God knows I do. Well, God would know it if God existed, but the theoretical God knows that I love listening to the sound of my own voice. It's the sweetest sound in the universe. I stopped listening to every podcast before I put it out simply because I didn't really have the fucking time. I got a lot of shit to do. So I went and I listened to Stating the Obvious 150, the 150th episode, which I released on the 9th anniversary of the Stating the Obvious podcast. We are in our 9th year. Next anniversary will be 10 fucking years of Stating the Obvious. Oh my God, it's glorious. I've been doing this shit for 10 fucking years, man. And only, this is episode, what are we on, 175, right? We're only on 175. It's because there's a long time there I didn't do anything. Can you imagine if for 9 years I had to put out 3 episodes a week? Holy shit. All right, anyway, I got a lot to talk about. I need to get rolling here. I'm easing into it, right? It's like sex. You don't just grab the bitch and push her down and smack her in the face and shove your cock in her, right? You ease into it. That's how I podcast. I'm fucking easing into it. That's... It's actually exactly true. That's exactly how this works. I'm easing into it. Just like pussy. All right. Anyway, what was I talking about? Oh, yeah. I listened to... Oh, God, I'm good. I'm so good. Oh. Right. I listened to episode 150, which was my episode entitled Fuck You and Fuck Your Feelings, in which I explained to statists why I don't give a shit about their feelings and why they can go fuck themselves. And after wrapping it up, I thought, well, that was an okay episode, but it was really just sort of a rant fest, and I don't think I made any sense, and I was pretty incoherent, and it was essentially just me babbling and screaming out the word fuck as many times as I could possibly scream the word fuck. After listening to it, that episode is way better than I thought it was. I mean, not to sound self-aggrandizing or anything, but, and remember, everything you say before the word but is negated by what comes after the word but. Not to sound self-aggrandizing or anything, but god damn, that was a motherfucking good episode. So if you haven't listened to Stating the Obvious 150 and you're wondering why I don't use less bad language and why I don't care more about statist and why I don't work harder to convince people that anarcho-capitalism is the correct way to go and why I don't work harder to convince people about non-aggression and why I'm not nicer to people who are philosophically different than I am, that episode will explain it to you. And of course, I forgot to fill up my water bottle. Brilliant. Let's roll. Let's do this. Let me get this out of the way first, because this will be really quick and easy. Apparently, I almost thought this was a joke. But apparently it's not. If there is a movie, it's already happened. It's in theaters, February the 28th. Apparently there is a movie called Son of God. The tagline is, their empire, his kingdom. And it says here that this is an epic work that tells the story of Jesus and touches the heart. Son of God proves that when talent and passion collide, the outcome is spectacular. Movie about Jesus. You want to impress me? Make a movie about Muhammad. Now, speaking of things that are impressive, let's talk about me. Let's talk about my cock. Let's talk about my ability to eat pussy. That, my friends, is spectacular, epic, and impressive. Because when I get my face down between a chick's legs, I can fucking lick the shit out of some pussy. I like licking some pussy. It's good times. I like having a drink of my 3 olive martini also. All right, but that's not the aspect of myself that's impressive and spectacular we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about how incredibly good I am at recognizing the truth. Newspaper articles. I had another package from my mother. She loves to send me newspaper articles about how wonderful Obama is and other related things. So all this stuff, including the Jesus poster, because my mother is one of these militant statheists, right? She hates religion, but of course she loves the government because it's wrong for religion to tell people how to live their lives, but of course it's totally okay for the government to tell people how to live their lives because the president of the United States is a black man. Now, when the president of the United States was George Bush, then the government, in her mind, was evil and shouldn't have anything to do with telling people how to run their lives. But now that Obama is the president, well, he's black. Well, he's half black. He's also half white, but we ignore the white half of him. But he's a black man, half a black man, half a man, potentially bisexual, if not gay. And so now the government should tell you how to run your life. So anyway, my mother sends me all this stuff. So these, everything I'm reading today came from my left-wing statheist mother. She sent me this article on animal behavior about how ants use their babies to survive floods. Now, let me read some of this to you. And the point of this is we're going to examine how ants are like the state. Ants are the state. Anyway, let me just read this. Instead of trying to explain to you what the fuck I'm going to explain to you, why don't I just explain it to you? Jesus fucking H. Christ on a stick. I wonder in that movie, I wonder if they put Jesus on a stick. I bet they did. I hope so. Hey, by the way, for people who are going to see the Jesus movie, here's a spoiler. He gets crucified and he dies, but he comes back. Because in the movies, you can do that. Nobody really dies in the movies. All right. Martini. That's all the silence is going to be me taking a sip of this delicious martini mixed with Plymouth gin. Plymouth gin is the best gin. When facing oncoming floodwaters, ants use their helpless babies as floating life preservers by sticking them at the very bottom of the life raft they build with their own bodies. The findings, described in a paper published in PLOS-1, I don't know what that is, reveal that ant rafts have a fascinating internal structure, one that maximizes the group's buoyancy and thus their chances of survival, but it does so by putting the young ant brood at the very bottom of the boat, exposed to hungry fish and the potential risk of drowning. We skip down a little bit more, and it says here, researchers have long marveled at the incredible researchers have long marveled at the Great One's ability to not be able to fucking read. However, he continues to podcast and attempt to read things while podcasting, even though he can't fucking read. Scientific studies have shown that the reason he does this might be because he's just a dumb motherfucker and doesn't know when to stop. All right. Take 17. Researchers have long marveled at the incredible organizing powers of ant colonies. Like beehives and termite nests, these so-called superorganisms exhibit what's known as swarm intelligence, able to act quickly in coordinated ways. Yada, yada, yada. Further down the article, we have this paragraph. This seems counterintuitive, talking about putting the ant larva on the bottom of the raft. For those of you who have absolutely no idea what I'm talking about, I'm skipping a lot of this because I know a lot of this. So ants, if ants are in an area and they're getting flooded, the ants will mass together with their bodies and they'll make essentially a giant ball of ants. And the giant ball of ants will float. Okay, so that's how ants survive floodwaters. And the queen, they found in this experiment, it says they found the queen typically ends up near the middle, but they did the experiment because they were curious, you know, where would the queen go and where would the pupa and where would the young ants go? And what they found was that the pupa go on the bottom, which is sort of counterintuitive. And that's what this next paragraph is talking about. This seemed counterintuitive. Shouldn't the ants try to protect their young? After submerging both adult ants and their brood young in water, the scientists found that the pupa and the larva were actually more buoyant than the adults. So now, how is all of this relevant to anarcho-capitalism. Because after all, an ant colony is the exact opposite of anarcho-capitalism. It is central planning. It is a swarm intelligence. This is relevant because this is exactly what we have. Our society today, the state, is a swarm intelligence. Because people talk about, well, look at all the great accomplishments that have happened because of the government. You know, like going to the moon and building the roads and the Korean War and the Vietnam War and the Afghanistan War and the Iraqi War and nuclear-powered aircraft carriers and nuclear waste and the war on drugs and the war on terrorism, right? I mean, all of those things, right? A small number of people cannot create the war on drugs. Okay, like me and Alice and Bob, the three of us can't get together and declare war on drugs and put hundreds of thousands of black people in prison and, you know, steal money from people because we pulled them over on the highway because they had out-of-state plates and forfeiture seizing, and we can't break into people's homes with machine guns and shoot their dogs and shove these people on the ground and hold them down while we search their house looking for drugs without realizing that we went to the wrong address, right? This sort of stuff cannot be done by small groups of individuals. That sort of thing can only be done by a swarm intelligence such as the state. But more importantly, martini time, hold on. More importantly, let's look at a parallel here. Let me reread the things I read to you, but I'm going to substitute some words and phrases. When facing oncoming economic hard times, people use their helpless babies as floating life preservers by utilizing the government to spend money that doesn't exist now and passing the debt along to their children, by having their children work at free internships where they don't actually get paid for their skills, and by having their children go to college for worthless degrees that allow them to not pay any money. Get paid any money, rather. Society, when faced with economic hard times, also engages in self-preservation by transferring money from the young people to the old people via entitlement programs like Social Security. These findings, revealed by the Great One himself and his podcast, Stating the Obvious, reveal that the state has a fascinating internal structure, one that maximizes the survival of the state as a whole, but does so by putting the young people at the very bottom of the economic ladder, by making sure that they have huge amounts of debt, by making sure that they have educations that will not allow them to make money in the future, and by taking money from the ones who do get jobs away in the form of taxes to pay retirement benefits to the old people who didn't save up enough money for their own retirement and are now dependent upon Social Security. Researchers at the Cynical Libertarian Society have long marveled at the incredible power of the state to organize its sheep-like citizen into giant herds of cattle who mindlessly do whatever they're told, otherwise known as statist. Now, this seems counterintuitive. Shouldn't parents try to protect their young? But after talking to both parents and young people, researchers at the Cynical Libertarian Society found out that, in fact, most old people really don't give a flying shit about the younger generations or their own children. Old people have become very self-centered and selfish and spoiled, and they would rather make sure they get their fucking retirement benefits than do anything to make the future of the world a better place. The parallels between animals and humans never ceases to amaze me. That was martini time right there. Speaking of martini time. Hey, what's this? Ooh, I have a new follower on Twitter. Well, this guy already followed me. What the fuck is wrong with these people? Okay, that was me spacing off. Because, you know, stop looking at Twitter, you dumbass. All right, now. Speaking of my brilliance. Oh, my brilliance. Oh, Jesus. Jesus fucking Christ. My brilliance. Here it is. I'm going to read this whole thing. And I just want you to... And if you think I'm... And if you think I'm making up anything I'm saying here, you just go right on back and you listen to past episodes of Stating the Obvious. I said this. I have said this over and over and over until I was blue in the face. Nobody believed me. No, of course not. I couldn't possibly. Could not possibly. Know what the fuck I'm talking about. After all, I'm a heterosexual white man who works for a living. How could I possibly be right about anything other than the fact, of course, that heterosexual white men who work for a living are responsible for 97% of all progress on the fucking planet Earth? Because God knows if women ran things. Oh, there's this great article. I shouldn't talk about this right now. There's this great blog post on Return of Kings about a reality TV show where the people doing the show took all the men in one group, all the women in one group, put them on a desert island, yada, yada, yada. And how the men, like, got more food and built buildings and all this other shit. And the women basically just sat there suntanning and ate all their food and then ran out of food because it never occurred to any of them to build shelter or start thinking about how to replenish their food supply after the food they brought with them ran out. Anyhow, it's a brilliant, if I think about it, I'll link to it. But again, it just proves my point. Not that my points need proving because I'm always right, but that was me running into the microphone. Hang on a minute. Yes. Oh, that was me slamming the chair into the microphone. That's always useful also. I'm opening the window. Little breeze in. It's a little breezy outside. Just a little. Thank you. Randy makes a good point. The breeze will come through the window better if I open the fucking window, not just the blind. Now see, if Randy ran the world, we might get a little bit done, because she's not quite as dumb as your average girl. Of course, then again, not many things can be as dumb as an average girl. Shit, now where am I going to put my martini? Now I have my feet propped up. All right, everybody brace yourself. There's going to be a lot of microphone noise. Oh, that could have been much, much worse. I'm making myself comfortable here. I'm just letting you know what's going on. So deal with it. All right, because I got to get comfortable for this. We're going to be here for a while. Where's my mouse? Where's my fucking mouse? Okay. Here we go. As we descend, as I check my microphone spikes, as we descend into the greatness. All right, yes, I fucked around for like 27 minutes now talking about my fucking greatness. Can we just talk about my fucking greatness already? Are you guys ready for this? Are you, in theory, I'm building up suspense because you're like, what the fuck's he going to talk about? In reality, you're all just listening to this going, will this cocksucker hurry up and just fucking talk about whatever the fuck he's going to talk about? Because I'm getting sick of fucking waiting. It's cool. I get it. Here we go. Healthcare law showing impact on income gap. Now, that's the headline. Here we go. Oh, my greatness is so amazing that I am. I just want to like pull out my dick and jack off right now. That's how great I am because I'm making myself horny. I'm giving myself a hard on. I'm so amazing. Who is it? Who? What's the name of the person? We know the name of the person. The name is the Great One himself. Who is it that came on his podcast and said that Obamacare is nothing but redistribution of wealth? Who is it that said the point of Obamacare is to transfer wealth from rich people to poor people, to transfer wealth in general, or transfer wealth from people in general to multi-billion dollar international healthcare corporations, and of course to transfer wealth from healthy people to sick people? Who is it? Oh yeah, it was me. It was yours fucking truly who came on this podcast and said the point of Obamacare is to transfer wealth. And I was told, I'm a racist, I'm a sexist, I'm a homophobic, I don't know anything about economics, I hate poor people, I'm an idiot, I can't possibly know what the fuck I'm talking about. Well, my friends, you're welcome. Maybe I now read this article from the Associated Press. Maybe the healthcare law was about wealth transfer after all. Yes. Yes. Maybe it was. Maybe I told you this. Maybe you didn't want to listen because what could I possibly know? I'm a fucking heterosexual white man who works for a living. I can't possibly know anything about anything. But you, well, you believe anything Obama says. He's the Messiah. He walks on water. He was born without birth certificate. Maybe the healthcare law was about wealth transfer after all. If the gap between the haves and the have-nots is the defining issue of President Barack Obama's second term, his health overhaul was its first term counterpart. Turns out the two are linked. New research shows that the Affordable Care Act will significantly boost the economic fortunes of those in the bottom one-fifth of the income ladder while slightly reducing average incomes on the rungs above. Wait, you mean Obamacare is going to transfer money from people who have money to people who don't have money? But that would mean it's wealth redistribution. And that would mean that I was right. Oh, that can't possibly be true. I can't be right. I'm a heterosexual white man who works for a living. What could I possibly know? I know that this three olive martini is delicious. It gets better. Oh, this gets better. Just wait for it. The healthcare law. The healthcare law may one day be seen as Obama's biggest legacy to the poor, not just the uninsured. The two groups often overlap, but not always. Okay, put on your hip waders for this next paragraph. Economist at the nonpartisan Brookings Institute. You heard it here first. The Brookings Institute is nonpartisan. And of course, by nonpartisan, we mean as left-wing statist as you can possibly get. By nonpartisan, we mean have never met a Democrat politician whose cock they wouldn't suck. By nonpartisan, we mean fucking hating freedom in all of its forms. The Brookings Institute, nonpartisan. Really, what fucking planet does whatever fucking journalist hack wrote this piece of shit live on? I mean, look, can there be any honesty in the media? Can they not say the Brookings Institute, a left-wing liberal think tank? Why are, you know, if I've said this so many times before, if you liberals are so goddamn proud of being liberals, why are you so terrified of being labeled liberals? The Brookings Institute is not nonpartisan. The fuck is wrong with you people? Do you fucking journalist? You know, and then of course people are reading this shit and they're going, I read a newspaper article today. I'm informed. No, you're not. You're a fucking moron. Shut up. Shut the fuck up. Shut up. Economist at the nonpartisan Brookings Institute, a Washington public policy center, found an average increase of about 6% in the incomes of the poorest 20% of the United States, meaning those making below approximately $20,600 a year. So now, because of Obamacare, they're saying that there's an average increase of 6% in the incomes of the poorest 20% of people because of Obamacare. Now, help me understand this. Obamacare forced people to buy health insurance. So when poor people were forced to buy a product from privately owned corporations, that made their income go up by 6%. But they didn't have insurance before. So when you spend money, your income goes up. Now, this is the only kind of, this is the kind of reasoning you can only get if you're the government. Now, I suppose you might be able to make an argument that says the poor people, well, no, that still doesn't work. What I was going to say is the poor people could have been purchasing health insurance. And let's say the health insurance they were buying was $200. So then Obamacare came along and forces the prices down. And now they say pay $125 instead of $200. But that doesn't actually, because a study says that there's an average increase of 6% in their income. So it's your income. This is talking about your income. An increase in income, not a reduction in expenditures. The idiots at the Brookings Institute are claiming that passing a law, follow me on this, I need you to fucking pull your head out of your ass. If you're a state, if you're an ANCAP, you can take a nap for a second because you don't need to have me explain this to you like you're 3 fucking years old. But if you're a statist, okay, passing a law that forces people to buy a product or service cannot increase the income of the person forced to buy a product or service. That is completely fucking economically impossible. If you could increase people's incomes by passing laws to force them to buy services from private corporations, the government could pass a law forcing everybody to buy shit tons of services from private corporations. Our incomes would all go up and everybody would be rich. for those of you who are statist, how can you be this fucking stupid? How? This is a question. I want an answer. How can you be this fucking stupid? And how can a 3-olive martini be this fucking delicious? For those of you wondering how I'm still drinking the same martini, I'm not. I have naked slave girls in here who are mixing fresh martinis for me on an ongoing basis. I have to kick the mouse with my foot to keep it alive. There it goes. Did that move? Fuck. Yeah, maybe. Who cares? Fuck it. I'm so good. I don't need to see the computer screen to record. I can use the force. I'm still drinking the same martini because a real man sips martinis. He doesn't guzzle them like a fucking little college girl. All right. Now, college girls, I guzzle. Speaking of college girls, I hear one outside the open window. But I'm too lazy to get up and look, but she might be cute. I saw a couple of hotties today out walking around. Anyway. Now, here we go. How did we arrive at this bullshit? Well, the next paragraph will explain that to us. Listen to this. The study, this is the study done by the nonpartisan Brookings Institute, you know, the hard left-wing, liberal, left-wing statist Brookings Institute. That's what we call nonpartisan nowadays. The study uses a broad definition of income that counts the value of health insurance, not normally measured by Census Bureau income statistics. Oh! So forcing people to buy a product results in their income going up because we're using a broad definition of income. See, your officer, your honor, judge, members of the jury. You see, I did not rape that woman. You see, I'm using a broad definition of making love, which includes forms of making love that are not normally included in the definition of making love, such as, for example, pushing a woman down, hitting her in the face, tying her up, ripping her clothes off, and then fucking her while she screams, no, no, stop. See, so I'm using a broad definition of making love, and that's how I determined that I didn't actually rape this woman, I made love to her. Well, yes. So, yes, if in the definition of income, we include as part of your income how much money you spend and say that spending more money means your income is going up, then yes, now suddenly I can understand how forcing people to buy a product would make their income go up. And remember, while we're talking about things you heard here first, let me remind you of this prediction that I have made multiple times. This is not, now that we've determined, the Supreme Court is going to kick back and allow the government to force people to buy products or services from privately owned corporations. This is not the last time you are going to be forced to buy a product. And every time you're forced to buy a product, your income's going to go up. You're going to get richer. Oh, God, the fucking miracles of groupthink. Oh, the miracles of collectivism. Oh, the miracles of the state. I mean, we're just 3 laws away from economic recovery. All right. I'm almost halfway through this. Let me wrap. Randy, where the fuck are we on time, bud? Yeah, okay, let me get my shit together. Changing the distribution of incomes was not a stated objective of healthcare law. wrote co-authors Henry Aaron and Gary Butlis. Quote, nonetheless, the ACA may do more to change the income distribution than any other recently enacted law, unquote. Again, who said this? Who told? Yeah, no, and they're right. The redistribution of wealth may not have been the stated purpose, but anybody who knows anything about economics knows good and goddamn well that's what the purpose was. I mean, we're right here. April 15th is coming. I'm working on my taxes. Did you know? Did you know? Did you know? Excuse me. Did you know that you can get earned income credit? You can get money back on your income taxes even if you didn't pay any income tax, right? And people are like, well, no, the income taxes are to fund the government. No, no, no. Income tax is to redistribute money. Income tax is to take money from rich people who work for it, or non-rich people who work for it. I shouldn't say rich people who work for it. I should say to take money from people who work for it and give it to people who don't. I'm going to send the IRS $1,000 while there are people out there who did not pay any income tax at all, zero, who are going to get money back. And you can't get money back when you didn't pay money in. The government is taking money from me and giving it to poor people. That is wealth redistribution. That was the point of the fucking Obamacare from day one. They may not have said that. Messiah didn't say that. Congress didn't say that. Supreme Court didn't say that. Nobody came out and said that, but that was the fucking point. And everybody involved knew it. A leading economic advisor to the Republicans says he agrees with the broad findings. Quote, this was always portrayed as a health reform, not a big redistribution policy, but it turns out they are the same thing, unquote, says Douglas Holtz Eakin. How does a man have a hyphenated last name? Fucking feminism. And he is the president of the American Action Forum, a center-right public policy institute. Notice how the American Action Forum is labeled as a center-right organization, but the Brookings Institute is called nonpartisan. But of course, the media doesn't have any kind of political bias other than, you know, swallowing the gallons of Obama's cum that they constantly choke down. Major programs such as Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid redistribute income in various ways, from workers to retirees and disabled people, from wealthier people to those of more modest means, from younger people to older ones. Gee, where have you heard all of that before? Redistribution of wealth in the United States. Where have we heard that talked about? Oh, I wonder if it was that asshole with that podcast called Stating the Obvious. The healthcare law expands Medicaid to serve more low-income people and provide taxpayer-subsidized private insurance to middle-class people who can't get coverage on the job. It pays for those new benefits partly by raising several taxes on upper-income earners, raising Medicare premiums for well-off retirees, and reducing subsidies for Medicare private insurance plans. The combined effect of such measures is to push economic resources down the income ladder. People in the higher rungs get dinged an average of less than 1%, the study found. Because, you see, we're only stealing less than 1% from you. So it's not really wrong. It's kind of like when you rape a woman, if you only stick the head of it in, it's not really rape. Because there is no right or wrong here. It's just a matter of degrees, right? To always say that raping a woman is wrong, well, no. I mean, if you put a condom on and only stick the head of it in, even though you drugged her and tied her up and ripped her clothes off and beat her, I mean, it's not really rape because you only stuck the head of it in. So when we take money away from people under the threat of force, under the threat of violence, in the form of taxes, and give that money to other people, it's not really theft. See, it's not really redistribution because it's less than 1%. This martini is delicious. Just throwing that out there. I mean, look, what more is there to be said? Obamacare is the redistribution of wealth. Even the fucking Associated Press and the Brookings Institute, you can't get more liberal than the AP and the Brookings Institute, they've admitted it. If you people out there would fucking stop arguing with me about the fact that Obamacare is the redistribution of wealth, I'd really fucking appreciate it, because you're just embarrassing yourselves. All right. Oh, yes. Ah. Yeah. My legs are falling asleep. Randy, where are we on time? Not very long. Okay, let's do this. Let's do some quick shit. Do I have quick shit? That's hilarious, because those of you who know me know that the concept of quick is not anything I can fucking do. What is this? What is this? I did EIC. Great. Wait, how much time do we have? Oh, all right. I want to save that for the other thing, though. For the elitism, for the discrimination. All right, now, fuck. Seriously, Randy, where the fuck are we on time? Hold on, Junior. Damn it. I don't have enough time. I could just sit here and babble about this. So here we go. There is, over on Meetup, I found recently, I got a notification from Meetup that somebody had started a philosophy group in Fort Collins. So I went over, and it's set up on Meetup. It's one of those where you have to submit your desire to join, and the moderator has to, or the owner has to, approve or disapprove you. I got disapproved for membership in the philosophy group. I thought that was fucking hilarious. The guy who runs it is some fucking idiot. Well, we knew that, but hold on. Martini. I should just call this the martini episode. This martini has lasted the entire episode. I still have enough left to wrap this up. And this guy is a academic philosopher, is my point. And anyhow, so I got rejected for membership in this philosophy group. I'm going to send him an email and ask him why I was not good enough to join his little fucking clicky photography philosophy, same thing. They both involve naked women. No, I'm just so mellow. I mean, I'm just so mellow. We got like not enough time for me to really make fun of anything. And after reading the Associated Press and the Brookings Institute admit that, yes, the great one himself was right, Obamacare is wealth redistribution. I mean, how do you really follow that? After all this shit about how, well, no, it's not about, I don't want to redistribute the wealth. I just want to make sure everybody gets their fair share. You know, after all of this shit, after all this Obamacare is going to fucking save the world and everything, after being called every name people could dredge up for pointing out that Obamacare was redistribution of income, for this to be admitted, and of course for, you know, who else but my left-wing statist fucking socialist Obama-loving mother to send me this. You know, and the scary thing is, my mother is a typical statist. She sent this to me not for me to rip on it and make fun of Obama. The reason she's sending to this this to me is that this is supposed to prove to me what a wonderful person Obama is and how great Obamacare is. And it's like, you people, you fucking statheist out there, and you femistatist, and you statist, you're so fucking brainwashed that when you see shit like this, when you see shit that's telling you that forcing people to buy health insurance makes their income go up by 6%, I mean, no fucking sane, rational person who understands economics can possibly believe this. You cannot fucking understand how math works and believe that forcing people to spend money will make their income go up. You cannot fucking believe that unless you're completely stupid. I mean, you can't. You have to go to college to be that fucking dumb. My mother didn't go to college, but my mother believes anything Obama says, and Obama went to college. Even though nobody's ever actually seen his college transcripts, but hey, he says he went to college, and he's black, and he wouldn't lie. And if you think Obama's not telling the truth, well, then you're a racist, and you hate black people. Or maybe you're just like me. Maybe you're just a heterosexual white man who actually fucking works for a living instead of sitting around and waiting for the government to take money away from other people and give it to me so that I can fucking go to the polling place every 4 years or 2 years or 6 years or fucking month or what the fuck ever it is and punch the little thing that says I vote Democrat, except of course for the circumstances where I'm too stupid to figure out how to vote and I accidentally vote for Patrick Buchanan instead of Al Gore. And then we have to listen to the whining and the crying and the yada yada yada. It's just a I don't bother with the other side. I'm always right.